Back together again, eh?
Let's play.
I'm going in. Cover me, Porkins.
I'm right with you, Red 3.
But I don't want to be a pirate! Oh!
Marvelous. Absolutely marvelous.
It's more for time!
Will you shut up?
I'm a fucking artist. I'm sensitive as shit. We'll do it live.
This is a big one. I'm coming to join you, honey.
I said give me a hell yeah!
Yep. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Do you like a jelly baby?
No! No!
You're listening to The Obscure Gentleman, a weekly podcast that deals with pop cultural nostalgia. I'm your host, Aaron A. Alvarez, and who might you be?
I'm Alex Mitchell, your co-host.
All right. Yeah. yeah, another new episode. Yeah, I mean, not a lot happening, really. X-Files is back. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, how is that?
Very good. 3 episodes in. The third episode was pretty amazing. Possibly one of the funniest X-Files episodes.
Oh, really?
I mean, it's written by the same dude who did Jose Chung's, so... Okay. It was an all-around funny, hilarious episode. But yeah,
I'm watching, Legends of Tomorrow.
I'm watching it also.
Yeah.
I just saw the newest episode right now. Yeah. It was really good.
Yeah.
It's
enjoyable.
That and The Flash.
Yeah.
I mean, all the superhero shows except like...
You're not big on Arrow as much.
Not big on Arrow or Gotham.
Yeah.
I'm watching Agent Carter, which is sadly like at 0.8 in the ratings right now.
Oh, really?
And dropping.
Oh, wow.
It's not doing well.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah. I mean, it's probably not going to get a third season. But in general, like, the superhero shows have been, I feel like, are pretty top-notch, even the stuff on Netflix, so... I mean, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Other than that, I don't know. We're talking about a toy today.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Big toy. Well, a popular toy.
It's...
In a weird sense.
It's weird. I don't really consider it a toy, even though it is a toy.
Yeah.
But I think that's more of personal feelings of why I don't consider it a toy.
Yeah.
But it's a toy nonetheless from the 1980s. So let's just, I guess, jump right into it. Today's episode will be about the Rubik's Cube.
There's never been a puzzle quite like Rubik's Cube, and America may never be the same. A medical journal has written about a unique phenomenon, Rubik's Thumb. A museum recognized it as a work of art. Rubik's Cube has been involved in divorce proceedings. People are practicing at clinics, entering contests, and competing across the country. Rubik's Cube from Ideal. 25 million Americans have made it a part of their lives. How about you?
You're going to let us in on, and the audience in on, what exactly the Rubik's Cube is. And I imagine pretty much every listener or anyone listening to this knows what it is.
Yeah.
But they might not know the history behind it, so...
I don't think they care. But I'm going to tell you anyways.
Because, quickly, when people think of a Rubik's Cube, their reactions are usually like, oh, okay, whatever, or... I fucking hate the Rubik's Cube.
Yeah.
Well,
to those who aren't aware, it's a 3x3, you know, like a... It's a cube, obviously.
Yeah.
3x3, you know, sliding mechanism where basically you have to, like, mix all the colors up. You get
and you have orange,
green, yellow, yeah, white, red, blue, orange, green, yellow. So you have to, like, mix them up, and then you have to get all the colors back on one side.
You have to, by solving it, you match up all the colors on the... Yeah. Corresponding side, yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty simple, really.
In concept, yes.
Yeah.
And according to some people, even just in practice, it's a simple thing.
Those people are monsters.
No. I have a good friend who actually I talked to about this.
Is he a speed cuber?
He can finish one in like a minute and a half.
He's a speeder. He's a speed cuber. Yeah. I've learned a bunch of weird terminology because of this. Yeah. But okay, what's the story?
Yeah, it came out in 1974 by a Hungarian sculptor and professor of architecture named Erno Rubik. Originally called the Magic Cube, the puzzle was licensed by Rubik and sold to the Ideal Toy Corp. So, I'm actually curious, like who's actually the main, like, seller? Like, for some reason, I always thought it was, like, Hasbro.
No, there was a company that put them out at first, and then I think... Rubik's actually became their own thing.
Oh, okay. So they're not even like...
Well, initially they were, And looking up the commercials, Ideal Toys.
Yeah.
And then I think what happened was, I guess maybe it became so big that Rubik's became their own brand.
Yeah. Normally that doesn't happen. It's like Ideal would have just became bigger at that point.
It's like,
I'm wondering how that came about.
It's like if Bop-It became so huge.
Well.
That.
I want to say, because, and let me just say right now, like, it's an amazingly popular toy. Puzzle toy thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. As of 2009, 350 million cubes have been sold worldwide.
That 350 million.
Yeah.
That's
making it the world's top selling puzzle game. It's widely considered to be the world's best selling toy.
I think even the PS2 didn't make, because the PS2 is known as the highest selling console in history.
Yeah.
Still, it still holds that record. I don't think it even made it up to that.
I wouldn't think so, no.
Which is insane.
Well, you gotta consider it's a lot simpler to, you know, make a cube.
You also have to wonder, are these statistics only for, like, the Ideal version, but the Ideal brand one?
If
they're not, there's even more sold. Because let's be honest, there's more than just the basic Rubik's Cube. There's different brands that put them out, like, with animals or pictures.
And then you'll see, like, the knockoff brands. But then, according to my friend, like, in tournaments and all that, the actual real Rubik's Cube is not used because apparently, like, it doesn't move fast enough or something.
Okay.
So that
I saw weird stuff about that too.
Okay.
Yeah. Apparently that's a thing with speeders, is that cubes need to be sometimes oiled up or something.
Yeah.
Or sometimes they have workarounds, which is weird to me. But
I'll get more into that in a bit. But so basically I want to say, like, let me ask you now, just to get to the real nitty gritty of this, have you ever had a Rubik's
Cube? Of course, I've had multiple Rubik's Cubes, and they always disappear, and it's either out of frustration or me just being like, I don't want to touch this thing ever again.
When you're, like, working on it, is it just, like, you just, like, sliding, like, the thing around?
First, it is.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you start noticing, like, maybe, you know, you start kind of developing strategy, and of course it never works.
Yeah.
And, you know, the thing with the Rubik's Cube to me is this. It's one of the, it's the candy corn of toys, where when you think about it and look at it, you're like, you know what, that could be all right, that could be pretty fun. But then as soon as you attempt it, or even try it, like candy corn, it's just like, this is terrible. But the thing is, you can't stop. Like with a Rubik's Cube.
But you could stop with candy corn, because you don't like.
But here's the weird thing with candy corn though, like you take one bite and you're like, it's not very good, but then you're like, there's a bowl there. You're like, maybe I'll get used to it. Same thing with the Rubik's Cube. Maybe I'll win. So it's addictive. A Rubik's Cube is very addictive.
I mean, do you think that we have, like, all these weird gimmicky kind of puzzle toys in the 90s because of this thing?
I want to say that this was,
like, because you mentioned the Bop-It, and I feel like even though it's not as intricate, we kind of have, you know,
pattern toys, basically. Pattern puzzles where,
yeah.
I do kind of want to say maybe this Rubik's Cube is the granddaddy of all them.
Yeah. Like Simon, I think, also kind of.
Yeah. Technically puzzles were there before.
Yeah.
But this was different, where it's like puzzles, it's just like, you got to complete a puzzle. This is, you need strategy and you need, like, theorems and shit, like, people use.
There's a ton of crazy, like, algorithms for.
Oh.
Yeah. I didn't write them down because I feel like me trying to explain it would be like trying to teach, like, like magic to you.
I watched a few algorithm videos. I didn't know what was going on.
To be honest, I'm not very good with math.
It's like, you start with the green in the corner.
Yeah.
But then you, and then they start talking math at one point. It's like, it's a cube. What is going on?
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, did it maybe, yeah, it probably did start that whole craze of, like, let's complicated puzzle games. I mean, you go to Toys R Us, there's like an aisle of games like this.
And, of course, the Rubik's Cube will be there.
Yeah, I mean,
you know,
in many different forms, though.
Yeah.
And right now I'm just talking about the basic Rubik's Cube, the 3x3. The best one I've ever seen, it was at a Spencer's. I don't condone Spencer's gift shop.
No.
It was all one color.
I saw something like that, too. I think my question is, how does that, because the shapes are different, right?
No, it was a one color Rubik's Cube. All the stickers were white.
Yeah. I'm aware that there's actually a way to, like, I don't even know why I'm discussing this seriously, but there actually is, like, a way that it's different from the other sides, and you actually
I think this was a joke.
No, there actually is.
Wait, so there's ones that are, like, So it's probably like a very subtle variation of color.
Something like that. Or, I don't know.
If that's true, that's evil. I know there's numbered ones, too, where you have to get the numbers in order.
Yeah.
Which is even more evil.
So right now, I'm just going to describe a couple different variants. So there's the...
Well, to let people know, because I think a lot of people don't know that there are different types of Rubik's Cubes, aside from, like, the basic 3x3.
Yeah.
And they've been released consistently since, like, probably the 80s, right? Like, and
That's apparently when it became, like, its most popular was, like, during the 80s. But they're actually, what the Guinness Book of World Records is saying is that in 81, so the very beginning of the 80s, and I want to say maybe this kind of helped get it, you know, more popular.
Yeah.
So this championship was held in Budapest in, This was in Munich in 81. All cubes were moved 40 times, and all these were, like, lubricated with, like, petroleum jelly.
Really? That's insane.
The official winner, and he beat this in about 38 seconds. And his name was Jury Froschel.
38 seconds?
Yeah. And then an international one in Budapest this guy named Min Tai. He's a Vietnamese dude from L.A., and he beat that one in 22.95 seconds.
Do you know the current record?
I believe that one may be it. No. Now I'm seeing like things where like this kid could solve it in like 3 seconds or something.
Yeah,
like that.
I saw that there was one who apparently could solve it in 6 seconds.
Yeah.
And now they're getting so discriminatory about it that they're doing it in like points of seconds now.
Yeah.
Because so many people are like doing it within like. With like 10 seconds that it's like 0.001, 0.008, like things like that.
And now they have like robots that can solve them in like 1 second. And it's like, I understand and I can appreciate that. Well, number one, that these guys can finish it at all is amazing. Yeah, I think if you could finish it, I know that the Rubik's Cube has kind of become this weird international symbol of a smart person.
it's weird when you watch like movies from the 80s to even today sometimes. I mean, it's not as common anymore, but you watch movies and when there's like a professor or a really intelligent person, you'll see, I'd say, three main objects. You see a Newton's cradle, mm-hmm. which is the thing with the balls that go back and forth. You see, I don't know the name of it, but it's like, it looks like a spiky ball that you can expand.
Yeah. I know what you're talking about, and I had one.
It's like a plastic cage ball thing that expands.
Yeah, and then it retracts.
Yeah, which I don't understand the point of that.
I don't know how that makes you a genius. That's just a...
And then the Rubik's Cube. Those are the three things, like toys, I guess.
Yeah.
You always see the Rubik's Cube thing. It's weird because a lot of the people who are master solvers, they aren't really geniuses. What they did is they found the formula and they practiced it like crazy till they got really fast. But there is a sort of this feeling that people have that, well, if you're really fast with a Rubik's Cube, that means you must be a genius.
Well, my friend said that the Rubik's Cube has also been kind of like this weird like symbol of like kind of like pseudo intellectual kind of thing where people will carry them around and do them in like the cafeterias or something like that, you know, at schools, and you know, try and look like they're really smart by, you know, working on it and all that. And he says it's kind of like there's no real point to doing that.
No, and it's seeing someone try to solve a Rubik's Cube, it's just always like, okay, you're gonna get really frustrated. But if they're a speed cuber, then,
or even if they just know how to do it.
Well, and here's the thing: speed cubers, though, the people who are like really really good at it and who do it within like under 10 seconds,
yeah.
They're not the kind who parade around doing it. Because to them, it's like, they solve it like da-da-da-da, and then it's like, okay, I'm done.
Yeah.
It is kind of funny that this became a symbol of intelligence. I mean, it's kind of like crossword puzzles, too.
Or like Sudoku now, I think.
It's weird. Puzzles, like these games, they become symbols of higher intelligence and stuff. When in reality, they're not really that... I mean,
I feel like an asshole for saying for agreeing with you because I can't solve.
There
them.
Are complex puzzles that like only mathematicians can solve, obviously.
Yeah.
And I applaud those more. It's when people, the whole notion of like is showing off and I'm cool because I can solve a Rubik's Cube, not even solving one, just because I have a Rubik's Cube. It's like,
yeah, okay. The carrying one around your book bag, and you know, you're just like. It's like, you know what it is? No one cares.
It's the nerd version of an acoustic guitar.
Yes. For, you know what? Yes.
For dudes who are like on college and high school campuses, like playing their acoustic guitar, but they're not really playing it to the full extent, and they're kind of just like twiddling with it, and it's like, you can tell that they're not really either really great at it.
See, that's the problem, is if you pull that, there will be someone there who can actually do it.
And then, that to me is like, it's like, oh, poor guy.
Because at least with like the guitar, it's like, it's my guitar.
No one else can touch it. Best is when, this is going off a little track, is when someone does have, and then someone's like, hey, can I check that out for a second? Yeah. And then they just start playing like crazy.
Yeah.
And it's like.
But that doesn't happen as much. With the Rubik's Cube, it's like, it feels more one of those, hey, let me take a stab at that, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I've never been compelled, though, to grab a Rubik's Cube from someone and try to solve
it. No, because I wouldn't be able to do anything.
Because I get anxiety from even looking at one.
Do you?
It's just like, nope, it's going to put me in its trap, and then I'm going to get what. I've only ever solved one side of a Rubik's Cube.
Yeah, and I feel like that's a lot of people who haven't been able to solve it. Can at least say that they get, like...
one side.
Yeah, one side.
I mean...
And I usually go for white first, because it's the most striking color for me.
I usually go for orange, I think.
Okay.
The thing is, I've almost got to two, but then it's that thing where all of a sudden it's like...
one piece is like off.
No, it's like three were in the... like, we're scattered, and it's like, how do I...
Yeah.
Yeah, I even feel frustrated talking about it right now.
Because I can't, like, properly, like, explain, like...
Because you're thinking of the cube in your head, and it's just like... And I'm sorry for our listeners if they're getting frustrated thinking of Rubik's Cubes right now.
Yeah.
But they're... I mean, I applaud anyone who can solve it under a minute. That's pretty amazing.
No, like I was saying, I applaud anyone who can solve it in general.
Yeah, if you're just one of those fiddlers who just like messes with it and has never solved it, and you're trying to use that to show off, it's like, come on.
I think visually it's an interesting thing, you know.
Oh yeah,
and it's even cooler to watch someone actually do it.
I don't
watch the people do speedruns because I can't like enjoy them watching. Like,
well, you can't really tell what's going on. You just see their fingers move fast.
But like my friend who could solve one in like a minute 30, like I can actually watch him kind of like do it. So it's like, that's cool.
But then it's like after you see it, you're like, okay.
Yeah. Well, that's it.
Well, that happened. It's like we'll talk about this one day. The cup stacking. Remember that was the thing?
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's that was to me was like mesmerizing. It's like, that is insane. Like, yeah. And you try it on your own, you just make a big mess.
This is going off track, but they actually sold like cups online.
Oh, TV. I know.
And I'm like, they're just sold.
You could have just used red party cups, but okay. Okay, so continue.
Okay,
on.
So
the different types of puzzles.
Yeah. So there's many different variants on this. So the simplest one I think is the 2x2, which it's just four.
There's
squares.
2x2.
Yeah, it's called the pocket cube or the mini cube. It's probably like my friend said this. It's like one of the simpler ones. Like most people that can't even solve.
It's easy mode.
Essentially, yeah. Okay. I mean, most people that can't solve the original one can at least do this.
Well, I've never even seen a 2x2.
It's just a nice little thing. There's nothing really.
What's the highest?
So the highest official one, and I say official one because
sanctioned by
the official company, is a 17x17 over the top cube.
That's how
it's the largest and most expensive one, costing more than $1,000.
$1,000 for a how do you salt what? That sounds what's the record for that? Do you know?
I have no idea because I don't even think it's. Okay, because here's the thing my friend was saying also is that because of the way it is, the mechanism, like, and like the way the pieces all move together, the more, like, numbers you add to that, like, 4x4 or 5...
I imagine...
It becomes more complicated. And he even saw this video of this guy who spent, like, months creating, like, 3D printing, like, this, like, I think 20x20 thing. And he said as soon as he moved it, it all, like, broke up and shattered into, like, a million pieces.
I want everyone, by the way, to know, you can't see us, but we've been moving our hands a lot, like crazy, which is, I guess, part, like, when you talk about Rubik's Cubes, you cannot not move your hands.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's,
Seven, that's insane. I mean,
yeah, that's an official one. So, like I said, they got...
How large is it? Like, is it, like, like extra gigantic?
To my knowledge, like, I actually saw someone like holding one.
Basketball sized or larger?
It's about the size, I think. Maybe
like a cooler.
If you cut off like maybe a fourth of your little like netbook here, it's about that like size.
Oh, okay. So,
I guess so
it's like it's like a piggy bank almost. Like instead of a decent like, or like a
bigger
like a mini TV from like the 90s.
Yes.
Okay. Or a toaster.
A bigger toaster, yeah.
Yeah, like a chunky toaster with four slots.
It's stupid that we're trying to decide this.
I mean, I think basketball sized was actually a good indicator. But yeah. Okay, so I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah, so we got the standard 3x3.
And that's just a square.
Yeah.
I understand that there's...
Okay, so yeah, the 4x4, which is called Rubik's Revenge or the Master Cube.
Oh, no.
And then the 5x5, which is called the Professor's Cube. And then, yeah, we got, like, the V6, V7.
What are those?
Obviously, they're just going up in numbers.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah. And then you have all these, like, kind of, like, Chinese, like, manufacturers that are making their own, you know, take on it. Again, because a lot of these things, you know, a lot of these things aren't officially sanctioned, yeah. But they try to get it. You know,
I know there's, like, pyramid-shaped ones.
Yeah.
But those aren't official, are they?
Actually, some of them are official.
Okay.
There's like hexagonical ones.
Yeah, I saw one called the Vortex.
Yeah,
which is it's like a big giant cube, but there's like a void in the middle of it.
Yeah,
and that it made me feel nauseous, like looking at it and like figuring how to solve something like that. Like,
there's so many crazy variants on. Well, number one, the fact that I think we're going into like 6 and 7, you know, by 7s, yeah. And all that. That's crazy.
I imagine that these are really fun for people who are like heavily into geometry and and mathematicians and stuff. I imagine
math magicians. Yes,
they might as well be called math magicians.
Yeah,
I imagine they're like it really relaxing and fun to. I mean, that's a pretty good audience, but yet again, we have to understand that this Rubik's Cube, and I don't know if you said it already. But when it was in the 1980s, not in the 70s, but when the 80s hit, it became like this massive, giant pop cultural phenomenon. Like, I'm not sure if this is the right statistic because I still can't find it, but on different videos that I was looking at, it kept popping up that one out of every 8 person on Earth has played or owned a Rubik's Cube.
Okay.
Which is insane.
It's kind of hard to think of that many toys because, like, when you think about it, like, there's toys for boys that they sell, toys for girls. So, obviously, those toys are not marketed towards one group of people.
Yeah.
This is one of those toys where I feel like everyone has seen it in some form. Yeah, you know what I mean?
It's one of those... it's a toy that it can go anywhere in a store, really. Like,
oh, yeah.
It's a front-end merchandise item where it's like, you know,
let me just say, I went on Amazon, it was $10. So it's
relatively cheap.
Yeah.
Also, it has the benefit of
size, I think.
Well, it's not just that. It has the benefit of, for parents buying toys for their children, of being called an educational toy, because it is known as an educational toy, but it's also known as just like a fun toy, and so it doesn't have the reputation of an educational toy.
Yeah.
Instead it has a reputation of just being like a fun, now just iconic toy. I mean, when it was first released, I do not understand how it became such a big, gigantic
thing. Well, in like Pursuit of Happiness, which takes place in like the 70s, right?
Yeah,
or very early 80s. It's not I believe so.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But you do see like one of the businessmen that he's in a taxi with trying to solve one.
Oh, it's that scene where he solves the Rubik's Cube. It's like, oh look, he's smart.
Yeah. Again, this is another example of them using the Rubik's Cube to kind of show off.
Rubik's Cube, I think, for a while in movies or in media, replaced chess being like the smart man's thing.
Well, chess is still
chess, but chess. Yeah, like really intelligent people are very good at it. Chess for a while became a thing of bad guys. Bad guys play chess.
Yeah.
Old people play checkers.
Magneto plays chess.
Yes, he does. But yeah, I mean, it is bizarre that this took the world by storm, because like, when you look at it, it looks like just it's a toy, right? It's like a simple toy game, whatever. the hula hoop was pretty popular. I do not think it took the world by storm like this did. It's kind of bizarre because like they both kind of have that same thing where it's like kind of just a simple thing. Maybe it's because a lot of people can't hula hoop properly, and it's like, what, you just have a hoop after that.
I think again, like you need space to do that.
Well, it's also with the Rubik's Cube, you get replay value.
Yeah,
like a lot of replay value. I mean, maybe just one play value because you still haven't solved it.
Yeah. I think, you know, going back to what you were saying, it looks nice. It's visually interesting. Yeah. I think. It's safe, you know, you're never really going to get hurt, you know, using one, I think. The benefit of being an educational toy, it's cheap, it can be like a stocking stuffer. It's portable too, you can just take it with you.
Also, it's like, yeah, when you play it, like, you get so into it that it's a time waster. Like,
yeah.
It's like before, you know, smart apps, cell phones, Game Boy, all that stuff, the Rubik's Cube was if you wanted to kill time, you play with a Rubik's Cube. I mean, and the other thing is, advertising it was a lot different from, like, puzzles or anything like that. Because with puzzles, it was like, you can't really advertise a puzzle. Like,
no.
You know, but advertising the Rubik's Cube, it was almost like a challenge to the people buying it. Like, can you solve this? And here's what's weird. Okay, so in the 1980s, when they started advertising the Rubik's Cube in their big commercial push, it was a campaign that was very patriotic.
Really?
Which is very weird to say. But it was almost like you're doing your duty as an American to play with this.
That's amazing.
And then there was, like, basically saying that the Rubik's Cube is revolutionary. It's like, it's been in museums. It's been the cause of divorces.
What?
There's competitions now.
Yeah.
And there's, like, a American flag in the background, bald eagle. Like, it's...
That's amazing.
The end shot is a Statue of Liberty with a Rubik's Cube on top of it.
That's awesome.
Again, it's the 80s, though. I mean, that's how they were advertising. Everything was...
The fact that that's, like, an unironic, like, advertising campaign is amazing.
I think it's funny that it's made by just some Hungarian dude.
Yeah.
But...
It reminds me of, like Tetris, in a way.
Yeah.
In that it's, like, a kind of like a foreign, like...
Well, you listen to the Tetris theme song.
There's... Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, come on. And you see all the spires when you first, like, launch on Game Boy. It was marketed like that. And then there's other commercials with judges and, like, Sir Isaac Newton. Of course,
he was alive.
You also have to show that it's an intelligent toy.
Yeah.
The marketing push for it, I guess, was very successful. Because people are like, I gotta check this out.
I hope this guy didn't get, like, screwed.
No, he didn't.
Good.
I don't know if he's still alive, but there was a video that I saw of him. It was at least in the 1990s, and apparently he was still part of, like, product control and stuff, and he was still, like, I guess drafting designs and stuff for future Rubik's Cube. Oh, so, nice. I mean, and he, by all accounts, he's a very, very nice man. He's a little shy, but he's,
like... Well, he's a professor. I don't expect him to be, like, this kind of, like... Very, hey kid, you like Rubik's Cubes?
Yeah. Well, that's not how Hungarians even sound.
No.
So, all right, so.
So, like you said, it was in competitions and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, apparently the WCA, which the World Cube Association, they have, like, different ways that you can solve these things in competitions. So, there's a few. We got blindfolded solving, which I have no idea.
Man.
I have no idea how that would even work. So, multiple blindfold solving, so you just solve more than just one.
Whoa.
It's like a combination to see how many you could do in a row. Solving the cube using a single hand. So, I...
Oh, no. See, I feel horrible right now.
See, my hands aren't that big.
No, I just...
So
I feel...
I don't even know how...
I feel, like, in my stomach, I feel this... It doesn't feel right.
Yeah. Solving the cube with one's feet.
That's...
I don't even know how... Yeah, that would
I'm
work.
Imagining a foot fetish person came up with that.
Yeah.
I wants to see the kids solves it with their feet.
I think this one's kind of interesting. It's solving the cube in the fewest possible moves.
That to me seems like the most original way to do competition for it, and also maybe the most difficult.
According to my friend, 20 is like 20 moves is like the god number. You can pretty much solve like any Rubik's Cube in like 20 moves or less, he says.
Oh, wow.
So
From my understanding of what I was reading is that they've over the years had to implement like many like new rules and policies because I guess you can cheat the Rubik's Cube. And so there's certain ways you're not allowed to do it. I know that.
I'm pretty sure you can't take off all the stickers.
That's.
I hate when people do that. And what's sad is you can tell when they've tried.
Yeah, because all of a sudden the cube looks like wonky and weird.
Yeah, and it's like you can see like some of the, and it's always, I notice it's always the white stickers that seem to be the ones that they tried to peel
what,
off.
What I was reading, and it's so insane. So apparently in like the 90s, because of this one competition and who won, a sleight of hand artist won, like a magician.
Yeah.
And he cheated, obviously. He found a way to quickly replace the root, like while solving it. Somehow he replaced the cube with a fresh cube and he won and they found out. And so now there was a rule sanction. I don't know if it's still an ongoing rule, but if you have a history with magic or sleight of hand, you're not allowed.
Really?
Like, you're banned. Huh. It's sort of like in certain casinos. If they find out you have history of being a magician or anything like that, you're not allowed to gamble. Like,
so all these guys that perform magic can't actually go into the casino and gamble then?
I imagine it's like, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, think about it. It's like you could manipulate cards.
But you're going to like the Mirage and you're performing in front of all these people. And like, it's
been great. Thanks for coming out tonight. I can't go into the casino.
Well, I imagine if you're performing in, like, your Lance Burton or something, Lance you're probably Burton. Making shitloads of money. I don't know.
Chris Angel or whatever.
I don't know why I mentioned Lance Burton. I could have.
You could have said Chris Angel. I think I.
Or that that one dude who flies through rings, David Copperfield.
Yes.
Yeah.
He was busy plowing fields or something.
Yes, that the others have sowed. Okay. Yes. So.
So I mean, that's about it for me in terms of why. How this was like, kind of like a, just this weird icon
it,
of like.
And it,
but
what?
Here's something you, I don't know if you're aware of.
The it's, cartoon? You can talk about the cartoon?
I'm gonna talk about the cartoon.
Of course, you're gonna talk about the goddamn cartoon.
Okay, so Rubik the Amazing Cube was a 1983 Ruby Spears animated series based on the then extremely popular Rubik's Cube puzzle toy. So, right off the bat, just reading Ruby Spears, I'm a little concerned.
Yeah.
Very
low-quality animation.
Yes. In this short-lived series, a trio of Latino siblings, Carlos, Lisa, and Reynaldo Rodriguez, are casually walking around a forest at night and happen to witness a strange gypsy-slash-magician-type character going at top speed in a horse-drawn cart. A strange object falls out of the cart, which looks like a Rubik's Cube. One of the kids picks it up and solves it, and lo and behold, the thing comes to life, complete with a face and legs. He calls himself Rubik and immediately bonds with the kids, who soon have wacky misadventures with the eponymous cube. Contrary to popular belief, the creators of this show were perfectly sober when they came up with this concept.
You see, it says a lot about the, like, I know we've been saying, you know, it was a pop cultural, like hurricane, and it, like, it speaks a lot to how popular this was, that the fact that it got a goddamn cartoon.
Yeah.
Like, a Rubik, it's, again, it's like if
like, G.I. Joe makes sense, no, right?
It's people, it's, there's storylines, it makes sense. This is a puzzle-solving device. Again, this would be like if a Hula Hoop got a cartoon.
Yeah. I mean...
And for those who don't know, the Rubik's Cube in this cartoon had like a little tiny troll-looking face.
Yeah, it did remind me of the feet too.
Yeah, it had little feet. I've never watched an episode because I just
what would I get out of it? Like if you're telling me like, hey, watch Transformers, it's actually like,
you know what? I think there was just a lot of coke behind this decision.
Yeah,
probably a lot of coke. But yeah, that's its legacy is so far-reaching that it got a cartoon. And it's influenced countless parodies and like, you watch cartoons. There's, you know, when you always have your Game Master type episodes where people have to solve something to get out of something. There's always like a Rubik's Cube type device.
Yeah. Oh, and I forgot to mention this. Once an episode, whenever Rubik gets bumped too hard, his cube jumbles up, trapping him inside and forcing one of the kids to solve the cube to free him. Usually with some added complication from having to solve the cube while hanging upside down above an eagle's nest to having to do it without thumbs due to being turned into a dog.
That's the most ridiculous thing that's ever been said.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure of nothing I ever
said. Now, the Rubik's Cube's greatest legacy, I think, should be said is Dude, Where's My Car? The Continuum Transfunctioner, which is the device that these weird German dudes are looking for and these alien ladies are looking for, is in the form of a Rubik's Cube. And Sean William Scott the whole time is trying to solve it, and at the end he solves it, and yeah.
Yeah.
So...
there you go. I wonder if he, like, do you have to sign off on that then? Like, hey, like...
I don't know. I get the feeling the Rubik's Cube...
it's kind of become, like, one of those public domain things.
Also, now. It's like, the Rubik's Company is the only one who makes the basic Rubik's Cube.
Yeah.
I think the Rubik's Cube is the only one that has the official logo on
yeah.
it. But other than that, it's kind of like a generic now design. It's like, anyone can make a hula hoop. Anyone can make checkers.
Yeah.
So, I mean... I think it's one of those things that...
it's become so... like,
it has become a standard toy.
Yeah.
One of those things where, like, in movies when you see Santa's workshop, there's always the rock, little rocking
horse. There's a ball.
A Rubik's Cube. Rubik's Cube has become one of those. I don't know of a toy since the 90s that has become a standard type toy. I mean, I don't see the Bop-It or Simon ever becoming that.
No.
Yeah, so that's...
Simon to me feels like it could have... but it's just too gimmicky.
Well, and also it's you need batteries and stuff like that. And
again, one of the other advantages is that it's
analog toys will always probably last a lot longer.
Yeah.
Although now I don't know. I don't really know how that is these days. I mean, we're out of the toy loop.
Mm-hmm.
Really? I mean, they're crazy. I don't watch Nickelodeon anymore. I don't know what toys are going around.
I don't know. Creepy crawlers are probably still a thing.
I don't think they are.
I'd like to think they are.
All right, so before we get into the comments, see what the internet thinks, a message from our El Presidente and Editor-in-Chief and all that jazz. To me, the Rubik's Cube is a device used by older family members to show dominance over the younger, more feeble-minded. It's a puzzle with practice can be mastered, so the moment you do master it, the skill is used for evil. It's a tool for showing off. I prefer someone walking up to me with a completed kitchen puzzle than this 80s BS. Love, Obscure Jim.
I mean, the jigsaw puzzle to me is like, again, it's another classic toy, I think that...
Oh,
I don't know, that's a puzzle. That's not a
it's
toy.
It's a puzzle. I mean...
Again, but it's a classic thing, you know, it's a... It's
there's no... Simple. But the thing is that the jigsaw puzzle, there's not one... classic type of jigsaw puzzle.
Yeah.
It's just a puzzle with just an image laid on top.
Yeah.
I mean, it's classic, all right. I mean, it's a...
But
it's,
there's
no definitive puzzle.
No.
Like, there's no, like, crying dog that's the definitive one, or a bunch of kittens laying in a basket. I mean...
Is that... What are those things?
Oh, yeah, of course. Like, clowns. Happy clowns. Sad clowns. You can put anything on a puzzle. Yeah, my grandma at her house when I was little, there was for some reason a New Kids on the Block puzzle there. I tried solving it once, and then I got bored.
You weren't hanging tough.
So, alright, let's see what the internet thinks of this iconic game puzzle educational tool
thing.
Gary says, American commercials were nationalist even back then.
I didn't see this commercial, but you know what? Based on what you're telling me, it sounds... I love that the 80s can have all these weird, like, so super patriotic things, and, like they never probably bat an eye at it.
The only time I see, like, really super American commercials now are, like, for trucks.
Or coins.
Barbecuing.
Yeah.
Hot and hot dogs.
And coins.
Yeah, well, those aren't really commercials. Those are like infomercials.
Yeah, okay.
Like, call now. And
get the commemorative, you know, 2001 thing.
Vietnam War Memorial coin. Yeah. I don't know.
And then they had the 9/11 one where the actual towers can rise out of the coin. I'm like,
yes, they did have that.
I don't know what the point is.
Big Catsman 123 says... Kids back then had a record of 35 seconds, but now the record is 6.55 seconds.
Yeah, I think that's the Chinese kid, I think.
That's
can do it. Yeah.
Insane. Like, so when it was originally 35, it was considered, like, crazy.
Now you look at it, you know, it's so weird with, like, in the future, right? Like 100 years from now, do you think...
They're
like,
just going to tap it? And...
Yeah, like, that's it. Or they're probably doing it with their mind or something. So
I'm going to say it's never going to go below 3 seconds. I want to say 3 seconds is going to be like I think the threshold.
I think the mind and the body aren't in tandem.
Unless we start getting like robotic replacements for our hands and stuff.
Like I said, there are robots that can solve this, and it's crazy that I can even say that there are robots that exist that can solve this thing in like a second.
Well, there you go. Okay, so Ian says, "You're a speed cuber. I'm surprised that you go around on videos like this saying you're smart, when really you know that you aren't any different from anyone else here."
Damn.
This dude's comment appeared on like so many videos.
Just that?
Like, yeah. Like,
so is he doing that so if a speed cuber does read it, they have to feel bad?
I think he's responding to people who post their videos of them solving.
Oh.
He wants them all to know, like, you ain't shit.
That's kind of shit.
I like to think how it started was one night he couldn't solve one, and then he got so mad that he was like, from now on, I'm gonna put them all in their place.
Jeez.
So Connor says, "A right pile of shite."
All right.
So he speaks to my heart. I feel him. Reiter says, "Oh my god! Don't use WD-40! Which I know people do, and I read that you're not allowed to use it, actually.
Really?
That is, it's considered a cheat to use WD-40.
So it's too smooth, then.
I guess.
You know what? WD-40 should use that as part of their advertising.
Do you want to loosen doors and solve Rubik's Cubes? Get WD-40.
Which reminds me, I need to buy some. My doors are freaking...
WD-40 is a... It, to me, it's like... It's a very manly product.
Oh, yeah.
It has that attachment to it of being like...
I love the episode of King of the Hill where Hank needs to... Hank needs to, like, get the hinges, like, smooth and not squeaky. And he has the big thing of WD-40, but the can won't open up. So he goes to his pocket-sized version of WD-40 to get the...
To me, it's weird that WD-40 became like a man product.
It is weird,
but it's because it's like an all-purpose like.
It's grease. Literally one of the simplest like thing products.
You can use. Ladies can use it too. It's like,
yeah. I think it's just like ladies wouldn't think to use WD-40. Like only men would. Or something.
Oh, your bolt's too tight. WD-40.
And everyone's always like wearing white shirts with grease stains and wiping off their forehead.
Yeah.
But it's like
brown boots.
In reality, you're just like a dude in a t-shirt or like a lady in a like in a t-shirt, and you're just like the hinge on your cupboard is squeaky. It's not like a super
manly activity, WD-40.
Just like
we'll have our WD-40 podcast.
That would be the worst episode ever. Okay. So Darren says,
"You don't have to take your cube apart to juice it up. Lube the right places and turn accordingly and get the job done."
Again, this again, WD-40.
Okay, apparently petroleum jelly is allowed.
Yeah.
Types of certain petroleum jellies are not.
I'm assuming KY would not be sanctioned. That's just...
I mean, it is a type of... I mean, Vaseline? I'm just picturing...
I know. See, I can't imagine Vaseline, like... working well. I imagine just kind of like just getting too...
I don't know. That's, yeah. It's just weird. People lubing up their cubes. Okay, so holographics. But he said juice it up. That just sounds weird.
Yeah, juice. And the accent you gave him didn't help.
Juice it up, baby. Juice up that cube.
So Holographic Sweater says...
Okay.
That's a cool name.
That is a cool name.
"I hate anybody who knows how to fix a Rubik's Cube, because I know they wasted that time they could have spent on figuring out how not to be an idiot instead."
Well, I think they did. I think they did, and that's how they learned how to solve the Rubik's Cube. Again, I can never knock anyone who can solve it.
It's the people who brag about it and can't solve it that it's like...
Who does that? Like, I can't...
They're not going to tell you that they can't solve it, though.
Well, I've been working on this thing for a while, you know, just in my spare time, you know.
So
my spirit.
This username is YTGH1UT. So
it's, okay.
"No thanks. I'd rather work overtime and get paid consistently for my skills. Once I have enough money, there's nothing to worry about, and I'll get a life later. I partied hard in my youth. Now is work time."
I feel like this man, I think he stumbled onto the road. I don't know why everyone associates this thing with, like, a big time waster. Like, it literally is sucking up, like, years of your life in order, like...
I mean, you could waste a good 2 hours on it.
Yeah.
But when you get really good at it, you're not wasting any time. Because you're so good at it.
I feel like the time you waste is building up to you wasting no time. And that's it.
And then once you figure it out, you're like, well, I did that. Or you become a professional.
That's the thing.
And get paid for it.
I don't know if I ever want to actually learn how to solve it. Because once I do, it's like, well, that's it.
But then you can get paid for it. Which is insane.
You have to be really good, though.
Yeah.
And I feel like I would never get to that
level. You'll never gleam the cube. Joe says, the creator of my nightmare.
People take this thing very seriously.
I mean, when I was saying I'm getting an anxiety feeling, I imagine if... It's one of those things, like, have you ever played Tetris for a long amount of time?
Yeah.
And then when you go to sleep, you kind of dream about Tetris? Like, that's happened before?
I think that's an actual thing where people start, like, paying attention to patterns and stuff.
But it's not just that. Like, you fall asleep and you have, like, a nightmare about, like, just constantly playing Tetris. I mean, that happens to me sometimes where, like, if I marathon a TV show all day, my whole dreams are nothing but that.
Really? That's pretty cool, actually.
No, it's not, because you feel like your dreams...
Well, no, not if you're marathoning, like, the X-Files, like I know.
Oh, that's happened to me.
That's scary.
I was dreaming of David Duchovny for a while.
Oh, well, that's not... That's not a bad
And it's worse because X-Files followed by Californication, so it's like David Duchovny's been all up in my brain for a while, and Julian Anderson from time to time.
Again, that's...
But mainly David Duchovny.
That's not a bad dream at all.
Like, I don't know, David Duchovny's like a recurring cast member in my dreams now.
Cool.
Not anything sexual. It's all just David Duchovny being David Duchovny.
Again, nothing sexual.
Okay, so Bob says... Good old Bob says, I contest that the cube was not invented by Rubik. In 1948, at King Edward VI Grammar School, Morpeth, Northumberland, I saw a boy with a wooden cube, much like the Rubik's Cube.
Okay.
Similarly coloured, with the parts able to be moved in a similar fashion. We observed this for a while, when the attraction faded and we got into playing marbles. Rubik's may have brought the cube to a world audience, but I hold that he did not invent it.
Okay, here's the thing. This isn't the first, like, puzzle cube thing of sorts. Like, there's always, like, a ton of, like...
This made it popular.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean...
And I think, again, the mechanicians and all that, those are his.
Here's something. You look at any invention, there's always somewhere else where there's something similar to it. The light bulb. Edison didn't actually invent the light bulb. There was hundreds of people before.
Yeah.
The aeroplane, hundreds of people.
Edison didn't invent a lot of things.
Yeah. The aeroplane, hundreds of people before. The Wright brothers, of course.
Yeah.
They
got the first real working one.
Yeah. And it lasted, it was there for like, what, like 16 seconds?
It wasn't very long.
Yeah.
It's like, I love seeing old footage of planes.
Crashing,
yeah,
that's like the most classic montage clip,
and it's always at the 20 stack, like the wings, and just
or
all
some
like,
of the wings on their arms,
yeah. Those are great.
That's classic TV show montage type clip,
yeah.
This dude, I mean, Edward the Sixth Grammar School, more
by the way, I don't believe this story for a second.
It only said 1948.
I just don't believe it.
Could be like a really old dude who...
No,
like,
I'm not saying old people don't use the internet.
He probably went to like a private school in
the fact is that they is, like, and then we went to go and play marvels. Like, okay.
I was looking at Baines, he was playing with the Rubik's Cube before it existed, yes. Why, sir, what do you got there? Why, sir, it's a Rubik's Cube.
Well, no, it wouldn't be called that since he didn't invent it yet.
It's a flimmy flammy, sir.
Flimmy flammy.
I got it off me, mate. Oh, yeah, sir. Put it away. Time to do your maths. We got the wall coming on.
Oh, God.
All right, so Martin says, the biggest problem with YouTube is it's bullshit, and here is my explanation. That you're all saying you've solved the Rubik's Cube in blah amount of seconds, etc. The problem is that most of you have basically muddled up in a mesmerized way and then solved it to give the cube to a 6-year-old and then tell him or her to mess it up for about an hour, then try to solve the fucker, you bare-faced liars. There's no periods in the sentence, so...
I'm a little confused right now.
Okay, the basic gist of what he's saying is similar to what Jim said. Mm-hmm. The people who can solve them, they muddle them up and mix them up in a certain pattern so that they can easily solve them. They show off, they act pretentious, and then they give them to a little kid, and then the little kid can't do it, so then the little kid feels inferior, and then they feel pretty cool.
I mean, I think that's kind of messed up to do to anyone, but I think that's what this guy's saying.
When you can solve a Rubik's Cube and you can do it consistently, I think it is one of those things where there are going to be some people who are going to like give it to younger people or people who can't solve it, and they're going to be like, huh, you can do it, I can.
I don't see how that's...
I imagine if someone did that to me, though, my response would be like, I don't know, okay.
Yeah.
Cool. But then you'd probably get the whole, like, well, you can't do it. It's like,
okay.
I don't...
Again, I feel like this is why, like, I respect anyone that could solve it, because it's like, at the end of the day, I don't care enough to, like... Like, it's cool that you can, but I'm not going to be brokenhearted that I can't.
Yeah, I'll just be like, oh, that's nice. Yeah. All right. But a little kid, I imagine, will get their feelings hurt. Like, I can't do it. Why can't I do it? And then the adult acts like a jerk. Starts, you know.
I feel like these things only exist in TV, but I never see this happen in real life.
Well, because you're not around those people. That's true. When's the last time you saw a person in public actually playing with a Rubik's Cube? Besides your friend.
Again, I asked him to bring it, like, the other day. I didn't. Yeah. Yeah. A while.
I mean, I've seen Rubik's Cubes at stores and stuff. Like, yeah. Anytime you go to a Target or a Walmart or a Toys R Us or a...
Again, that shows how popular it is that, you know, you can find it like...
Or Sears and Robex or whatever.
Yeah. Sears and Rubex, more like it.
You know, you go to the general store,
yeah,
mom and pop at a corn feed, you'll see one.
Yeah. I don't know where you'll see a mom and pop of corn feed thing, but...
You know, they're out there.
The general store.
Got me some hardtack in the other day, and a big stock of Rubik's Cubes.
I'm trying to picture a farmer in the general store stocking Rubik's Cubes. Like, you got your jeans.
And they're like a big potato sack too, right? Like,
isn't that fancy toy from them city folks?
Alright, and then so the last one. From submission 1994, who cares?
Okay. Well, I mean, obviously a lot of people do.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one of the most popular
songs. But I think, in general, it's not something to be worked up over. Like, it's not really competitive in terms of, like, it's really a personal thing. I mean, yeah, I get they have competitions for speeding, like, yeah, the speed run.
You're saying that you yourself, unless you're not trained in it, should not get worked up over it.
Or you shouldn't assert your dominance of...
Oh, no.
Like, being... It's like I'm really, really good at Simon. It's like...
Okay.
All right.
Oh, okay, hold on now. Simon and...
Oh, come on.
They're not the same at all.
No, dude, Simon's an easier version of Rubik's Cube.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, why are you saying, like...
Someone's gonna... You know someone somewhere in history has bragged about being good at Simon.
That's ridiculous.
I don't know about you,
it's,
man.
It's literally Simon Says.
I'm really good at Simon. I'm the best.
Simon Says, shut the fuck up.
It's not Simon Says at all. What are you talking about?
It's Simon Says, do this and you do this. Except you're sticking out the ability to, Simon Says, put your hand on your
head. It's just Simon Says, hit this. No, it's just copying a pattern.
Yeah. But no, it's based off of Simon Says, though.
It's a very dumbed down vegetable version of Simon Says. Yeah,
there you go.
It's just hit the lights in the right order.
Get to the top, so no you can't.
more Obscure Gentlemen fun, head over to www.theobscuregentleman.com. And if you'd like to help support this podcast and the webcomic, please visit www.patreon.com/theobscuregentleman. We thank you for listening.
The Boppet is an extension of Simon.
Boppet's the greatest toy name ever because it's so... It's lewd. What are you doing? You're playing with your Boppet?
Well, look at the shape of it.
Mom, I really want a Boppet. God damn it. I gotta flick it, Mom. Oh, God.
Twist it, pull it.
I have to twist it, Mom. Why are you interrupting me? Let me pull it in peace.
God damn it.